الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباد الذين اصطفى ما بعد فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وكذلك جعلناكم أمة وسطا لتكونوا شهداء على الناس وقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يكون هواه تبعا لما جئت به وكما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم كما حميد مجيد وبارك على محمد وعلى محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم كما حميد مجيد رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي وانفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما يا رب العالمين جزاك الله الحمد لله my dearest Christian brothers and elders in Islam السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving us the tawfiq for allowing us to attend this noble gathering of Jumu'ah. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He accepted from us, accepted from all the Muslims all over the world. He make it easy for us to establish our fara'id, to become true da'is, true inviters to the way of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this land that we live in. And we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He resurrect us and bring us back with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and put us in jannah for those with Habib Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. As a reminder for myself and for everyone here, and especially for the adults and the parents here, to look left and right at all the kids and the students here. The kids that go to school every week of the year, basically, and they are in school and unable to pray their Jumu'ah. And I want everyone to reflect and make tadabbur and tafakkur and consider and concern exactly how we can solve the situation of Jumu'ah. That there are so many kids that are unable to pray the Jumu'ah because of school. And so an easy solution is that every parent should go to the school and speak to the teachers and get a small little slot, 5 to 10 minutes. Alhamdulillah, certain high schools are already doing it. Now it's up to you, inshallah ta'ala, to go to the schools and implore them and ask them directly that can my son or my child get some time off so that way they can pray Jumu'ah, 5 to 10 minutes. Your son can become the imam sahab, inshallah, the khatib sahab. He'll lead the 2 rakats, Jumu'ah, mashallah, give the khutbah as well. And then the salat will be done before anyone even knows it. They'll be going in for the bathroom break and be right back. May Allah make it easy for us and make it easy for everyone here. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. My dear respected brothers and elders and sisters in Islam, the strong message that we want to give is that we want to remind ourselves about what is our purpose, what is our means, what is our reason of being here. What is the fadila and the virtue of being part of the Ummah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The community that we belong to is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes very beautifully in the Quran. He says the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's Ummah is very unique. It's different from other nations of the past. The Isa alayhi salam had a community. Musa alayhi salam had a community. Ibrahim alayhi salam had a community. All these prophets had communities. But the community of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is very unique in which regard? وَكَذَٰلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we made you the best of all nations. We made you the best of all nations, the best of all communities. لِتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ So that way you will become witnesses against the people. The idea of being a witness means this. That on the day of judgment, when a person will come and say, Ya Allah, I could not do it because I was stuck in school. Or Ya Allah, I could not do it because I became an engineer or a doctor. Or Ya Allah, I could not accept Islam because of so-and-so circumstances. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring you and I as witnesses against them. Allah will give you and I as an example against them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say that this was your role model in your community. This was your role model in your community. This girl that wore her hijab, you said you could not wear your hijab. I'll bring the same girl, studied in the same school, did the same type of things as you. You said you could not wear it, look at her, she wore it. She is the role model for you, you didn't follow her. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring you and I, inshallah ta'ala, bi'iznillahi ta'ala. Allah will bring you and I in the day of judgment and show that these people were the ones who were practicing Islam. While everyone else abandoned deen, they were the ones who held on to the kalima of La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We are the people Allah has chosen. And this entire world is trying to go against us. The system of Dajjal, that every single dollar bill we spent on this Black Friday, is a reminder that the system of Dajjal is being established. That the way that they've already established their pyramid, and they're waiting for the top of the pyramid, the eye of Dajjal to come down. They're just waiting for their master, their ruler to come down. What is the idea behind this system? The system's idea is what? Deception, deception, deception. The word Dajjal means to deceive. It means when a person, when they try to sell their camel, when the camel does not look good, they try to smear the camel with a different color to show that the camel is much more beautiful, it's much more adorned. And so in other words, is what? That the entire dunya will be adorned and made beautiful. so that you and I will become attracted to it. This world is all about this deception. The life that you and I live is a limited life, a limitless life. The life that you and I live is a limitless life. That we have no end to this horizon how great a person can become. But the idea of this life is what? That people want us to be make ourselves limited. The entire life, all of existence is now just between the four corners of a phone. Everyone's existence is just in there. Who can I talk to today? What's the latest tweet? What is the latest thing on Facebook? What is the next thing I can put on my Instagram? What food did I eat today? Everyone needs to see it. Everyone needs to see what food I eat, so that because it's very important. Everyone needs to know about it. This is all we're about these days. Everything about us is just about the four corners of a very limited, small phone that we have. May Allah save us and protect us. The idea of Dajjal is what? He does not want you to think about the past. He does not want you to think about the future. He just wants to tell you, YOLO, you only live once. You're only here for right now. You have to live and exist right now. This is who you are. This is what you're going to be. And so Dajjal wants that everyone live in the material as much as they can till he comes down finally himself. And when Dajjal comes, he's going to be in such a position where he'll control the heavens, he'll control the land, the sea, and the air in such a way that if he wants it to rain, it will rain. If a person wants wealth, he'll give them wealth. If you think the tests of the dunya are hard now, just wait till Dajjal comes and you'll see what a test is. What a true test is. And at that time, you and I who have been addicted to just living the moment, just living in the moment, not caring about the future, not looking at the past, you and I will be tempted so severely. It'll be such a severe test against us. That if you thought it was hard before, wait till he comes and starts to test you now. That look, believe that I am God and I'll give you everything you want. Everything you want. I'll put you in that virtual reality that will make you have the life of your dreams. Everything will come back. If a person's parents died, Dajjal will bring them back with two jinns and their parents. So that way that person will find it. If a person's friend died, Dajjal will make it that a jinn will go in that person's body and bring them back from the grave. Dajjal will be in such a terrible position against all of us. So you and I need to ask ourselves, what position are we? Are we the ones that are trying to expand our souls, looking towards the future, have a true dream in mind? Or you and I are in the position of our life is all in this phone. That's all our life is about. That what is my fantasy football team right now? What did I eat yesterday? What am I going to eat today? That's all we're thinking about. May Allah save us and protect us. The Prophet Muhammad said that if your iman has to be so firm and so strong, that the Dajjal will bring a river of fire. And he'll bring a river of water. He'll bring a river of lava and a river of water. He'll bring them in front of you. And Dajjal will pull people in. He'll throw people into the river of water. But those who go into the river of water will be going straight to the fire of Jahannam. May Allah save us and protect us from that. And those that he picks and throws them, he sees that they're not believing in him. They believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will take that person, throw them into the river of lava, and they'll go straight to Jannah. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith, he says that you have to go towards the river of lava. It's going to make you sweat. It's going to feel like lava. Everything is going to tell you it's lava. But the Prophet ﷺ says, you need to go in there, put your hand in it, put it into your mouth and drink it, because it's going to be water. Because sadaqa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ never speaks a lie alayhi salatu wasalam. This is the deen of Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. You and I need to become a person who can become this strong role model. The you and I can become a person who can survive this fitna and fasad. But that requires for one important thing. And this is a thing that many parents overlook when they're training or raising their kids. And many aunties come to me. Many aunties come to me and tell me that Sheikh, you have to tell my kid to respect me. You have to tell my kid to obey me. Look, he's not a robot. No matter how many times I shake him like this and tell him, listen to your mom and dad, he's not going to start doing it. He's a human being. He has emotions. He has feelings. Sometimes he's good, sometimes he's bad. And many times it's because it happens where a person will start to practice deen later on in their life, right? And so a certain auntie will practice deen later on. And so she's praying salah, she's wearing a hijab. She's like, my daughter's not doing it, my son is not doing it. Like she goes to him and yells at him at 3 a.m. in the morning. Why are you not praying? Mom, it's 3 a.m. in the morning, what am I supposed to do? You know, he's never prayed before. You know the Cybertruck, right? Google what, for like 0 to 60 in like 2.9 seconds, something like that, right? You can go as fast as you want, but the speed limit is only 30. You're going to still get caught by the cops, you know what I'm saying? So in other words, the speed limit of your house is very slow. Give them time. Give them time to develop and grow, inshallah. Everyone starts off as a seed, you know? And I wish everyone would remember that one time in our life we weren't praying, and alhamdulillah, Allah gave us tawfiq. And make sure you give that opportunity to everyone else, inshallah. The same way you want an opportunity to pray, give that opportunity to your kids. But you have to give them a certain feeling. What is that feeling? then life is not about the Instagram. Life is not about the Facebook. Life is not about the Twitter. Life is not about just buying something on Black Friday and just settling on that. And I have nothing wrong with shopping. Personally, I wish Black Friday was every day of the year. Because alhamdulillah, we had 2 sufuf for Fajr today, mashallah. Right? 2 people, mashallah, because they understood that I can become the richest person in the world if I just pray the sunnah Fajr, mashallah. If that's the reward of the Fajr, that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, you'll get the entire world and whatever it contains. That's how much reward you'll get. Imagine praying the fard, inshallah. May Allah give us that tawfiq and hidayah. I wish it was every day of the year, mashallah, right? Allah give us tawfiq. My issue is only when people buy things when they don't need it. Right? Like, you guys said, Mom, we already have like 15 of these. Oh yeah, one more wouldn't hurt. One more wouldn't hurt. Ya Allah. You know, there are people who are suffering and starving all over the world. Maybe you give a little bit of sadaqah. You are spending money which is from your hours of your life. Their hours of your life. How much did that sweater cost you? 2.5 hours of my life. Right? How much did that car cost you? I spent about 300 hours of my life. That's what we're doing. So remember that you can invest your hours of your life in a very stable account. The account that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala insured. Allah ta'ala will preserve this account for you on the day of judgment. That if you gave it to an orphan or any person, any poor person in need, or any masjid, mashallah, or you build something with it, mashallah ta'ala, that will give you a strong investment. I promise you Allah ta'ala will keep it firm for you. As long as you don't make the account go bankrupt. The only way you can make it bankrupt is that you start to brag about what you have. May Allah save that count for all of us, inshallah ta'ala. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. The important idea or concept that every person needs to have here, يَبْتَغُونَ فَضْلًا مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرِضْوَانًا, that they desire, they have a desire, they have a purpose. What is their purpose? That they want to make Allah ta'ala happy. The entire goal of life is what? That we were created to worship Allah and we were created to return to Allah. That you and I have been here in this world for a certain amount of time. We're here to make Allah ta'ala happy. We're here to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That we're supposed to pray our 5 times, grow our beards, wear our hijab, do our deen, practice our Islam, so that one day when we meet Allah, Allah is happy with us. And I promise you, when you get into Jannah, لَهُمْ فِيهَا مَا يَشَاءُونَ خَالِدِينَ. Whatever you want will be received in Jannah, inshallah. Whatever you said, I could not become happy in the world, Allah will give you 10 times, a million times, a billion times over in Jannah, inshallah. But you have to make it your goal in life. My goal in life is what? That I want Allah to be happy with me. And there are people of the past who were like that, mashallah. I only give one example, just because it's pertinent to the youth here. This one boy named Mus'ab. One boy named Mus'ab at the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. And all for the kids who don't know, that we usually say sallallahu alaihi wa sallam after our Prophet Muhammad's name. Sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu said, whoever says this will get 10 rewards just by saying sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. And in some way of showing respect for him, alayhi salatu wasalam. Mus'ab was such a boy, which they described in the city of Makkah, that he was such a boy who was completely, if you want to say spoiled, he was spoiled. Pampered to the extreme. His mom would take care of every need for him. All the latest fashion, all the latest clothes. You want to say Louis Vuitton, you want to say Gucci, whatever it might be. He had everything of the time. He had the best sandals. They said even his sandals were tailored to make sure they fit his foot the right way. It's such a boy that was completely adorned. Everything was made easy for him. And they said when Prophet Muhammad came and started to give the da'wah of Islam, they were like, "How this boy Musa will never accept Islam. He's just too pampered, he's not even with society." You know, like every girl wanted to marry him, everyone wanted to be his friend, right? And they said that this boy will never come to Islam. Then what happens is conveniently, the Prophet ﷺ is giving one talk. And in that talk, Mus'ab is there sitting. And he's fallen in love with the Prophet ﷺ. Completely mystified, completely entranced by the words of the Prophet ﷺ. And he goes to the Prophet ﷺ and says, "Ya Rasulullah, I want to accept this Islam that you're preaching. I want to accept this Islam that you're preaching." And so he accepts this Islam. And he comes to the Prophet ﷺ in secret. He goes to him in secret. And people are like, "What is Mus'ab doing here? He's a spoiled kid. How's he here?" But he listens to the Prophet ﷺ the most. He takes the lessons the most. And finally his mother finds out about it. His mother finds out about it. And she says, "If you want to wear any shred of clothing that I gave you before, you better abandon this Islam. Never turn to the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ ever again." And he said, "Wallahi mother, I'll never be able to abandon it." So she takes away all the beautiful clothes that he used to wear. And then she locks him up and chains him up in his house. And says, "Mus'ab, you're going to suffer day in and day out until you turn back from this Islam." Mus'ab takes it every single day. Finally, here Muslims are migrating to another land in Abyssinia. So he decides to get out of the chains. He sneaks out from the guards. And he runs away to Abyssinia. He lives with the Muslims there. He comes back after a certain amount of time. And he comes back with only rags. He doesn't have any more money anymore. The shoes, the Louis Vuitton, the Gucci that he used to wear, none of that is there anymore. He just looks completely in tatters. All his clothes were just completely ruined. And he comes back and his mother sees him. Says, "Mus'ab, if you leave again, I swear I will do this and this and this." Mus'ab says, "Mother, do whatever you want. I don't even care anymore. You can kill me if you want. I'm never going to abandon this Islam. I love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'm willing to die for it. And so his mother saw this and she backed off. Mus'ab, the Prophet said, look at this boy that used to have everything of dunya, everything of this world, and he abandons everything for Allah and his Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was such a boy that when the Prophet had to choose someone, that they had to migrate to Medina. Medina was a new land, the homeland of the Muslims. It's going to be this wonderful place of Islam. When the Prophet had to choose from all the Sahaba, Abu Bakr, his best friend, radiallahu anhu, Umar, the tough guy of Islam, Ali, his cousin, Uthman, his son-in-law, he could have chosen any of these people. He could have chosen Bilal, he could have chosen Khabbab, he could have chosen any of these great Sahaba, radiallahu anhu. But he says, no, Mus'ab is going to go. Mus'ab is going to go. 17, 18-year-old boy, young boy, to spread the message of Islam to a new land who has never even learned about the deen. The Prophet says he's going to go. The Sahaba understood why the Nabi told Mus'ab. Because he decided to give up everything for Allah and his Messenger. He tried to change his life. He tried to become a new person. Because he decided to change, he can change a community. Because he changed himself, he can change a community. So the Prophet chose Mus'ab. And they said about Mus'ab very specifically. They said the thing about Mus'ab is what? That he is like the Prophet in his appearance and his character. They said the way he used to talk was like the Prophet. The way he used to walk was like the Prophet. So Mus'ab goes. He goes to the land of Medina. Only maybe about a few Muslims when he first reaches there. About 12 or so Muslims only. He goes and gives da'wah and da'wah and da'wah. 1 year goes by. He goes back to the Prophet and says, Ya Rasulullah, over 70 families have accepted Islam. Over 70 families have accepted Islam. And the leaders of the tribes are all ready to accept you, Ya Rasulullah. Alayhi salatu wasalam. Mus'ab radiallahu anhu was so talented, so well versed, so smart and intelligent. But when the time of the Battle of Uhud came, the War of Uhud comes, and they were fighting and fighting and fighting. Mus'ab is the one who's holding the flag of Islam. In the wars of the past, the one who used to be the most important person in the army in terms of the battle was the guy holding the flag. So Mus'ab was that man, the Nabi chose him for that. When they said that the Prophet had died, he didn't die, but the message was spread as a rumor in the battlefield. When that rumor came, Mus'ab says, Muhammad was just a prophet, we're going to meet Allah Ta'ala one day or whatever. So he goes, fights forward. He fights with the flag in his hand, takes out one sword, and that arm is cut off that had the sword on it. Then he switches it to the other side, but he holds on to the flag with his arm as much as he can. And then his other arm is cut. And he's trying to hold it with his neck, radiallahu anhu. Subhanallah. And then he stabbed and stabbed and stabbed till his entire body is covered in wounds. And they said they tried to protect the body of Mus'ab because they wanted the Prophet to see him. When the Prophet goes and he says, where is Mus'ab? Where is Mus'ab? And he goes and sees that his body has been covered with over 70 wounds. That is, the only one who could recognize him was his sister, because the arm that was cut off has the finger that had his fingertips. She said, this is my brother Mus'ab, radiallahu anhu. He gave up everything. The Sahaba used to say that you and I, we are enjoying a bit of the dunya. But Mus'ab gave everything. He's the one who fulfilled his promise to Allah and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's a boy that gave up everything for Allah and his Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And now many of you might be thinking, but Shaykh, you know, you're acting like I don't live the good life. You know, you don't even know what I go through. I have everything, you know. The cheeseburger I ate yesterday was so amazing. Hashtag lit, you know, whatever this and that. You know, listen, you walking meme. You walking meme need to understand something here. Okay? As a boy who grew up in New York, okay? Okay, I'm only giving this as a small little sample. I know everyone else can do this. As a boy who grew up in New York, okay, with about 3 bars around his house and 1 gay one, okay? Right? This is the environment I grew up in, right? And to the extent that when prom time came up in high school, my best friend came up to me and said, I know you're not going. I really want you to go. I'll get you the limo. I'll get you the girl. I'll get you the hotel. I'll get you everything. I just want you to go for prom. Okay? I might know a little bit what you're going through. And if I don't, many of these convert brothers will tell you the same thing. Many of these uncles who started praying later on will tell you the same thing. That everything that you and I were going through before was garbage. Absolutely garbage. That you think the life of doing haram is good? You think the life of disobeying Allah Ta'ala's Messenger is good? That a person who's committing zina, who has a boyfriend or a girlfriend is okay? You're committing a sin. A boy came up to me the other day. He said, oh, Mawlana Sahib, I have this issue. I have this girlfriend. What should I do? I'm like, all right, I'll give you the straight answer if you want. I'm a very straightforward guy. So I told him, he said, all right, tell me. I said, number one is that I'll go to your mom, I'll go to her mom, and I'll speak to both of them, and I'll get you married right now. 16-year-old boy. Right? I said, I'll get you married off right now. It's halal now. I'll do it. And he's like, really? He's like, but I'm not ready. I'm like, All right. Then the option number two is you break it up, right? And then he said, but I don't want to do that. I said, the option number three is you both burn in hellfire. He's like, I'll take option number one. I'm joking. He did the option. He said number two. I said, how long have you met this girl? I said 2 months. I'm like, yeah, Allah, shut up, man. You know, like we're obsessed with these things. You know what happens is what? If a person's around garbage too much, that's the only thing you feel is good. You know, the garbage man works so much in his garbage. The garbage man works so much in his garbage. He comes home, his wife puts on the best perfume. He's like, honey, you stink. And then she has to put on, the garbage. So that way she smells good for him. Because that's the only thing he can smell now. If we're around filth all the time, we don't understand what's good anymore. That's what happened here. And I want to remind every boy, every child, every girl, everyone here, that no matter how much you think your life is so important, who's going to remember you after 50 years? Who's going to remember you after 100 years? Who's going to remember you after 1,000 years? This boy Musab, I told you, was 1,400 years ago. And we're still talking about him today. Because those who give their life for Islam and Deen and the Kalima, La ilaha Muhammadur Rasulullah, Allah Ta'ala never forgets them. And when Allah Ta'ala never forgets you, means what? That you will be remembered for years and years and years after you die, inshallah. No matter how much you lived in your life, you have to ask yourself, what legacy are you leaving behind? What is the thing that I'm leaving behind? After I go, what are people going to remember me for? Are they going to remember me for the Instagram, the hashtag, and the fantasy football? Is that all my life amounted to? Or are they going to remember me for the brother who used to come for Fajr regularly? That when they pray their janazah, they'll say, this was the brother who used to go for Fajr. When they see the girl, the daughter who passed away wearing her hijab, they say, this is the girl who started hijab in her high school. Where are those girls? Where are those boys? They're the ones who are going to create change, inshallah ta'ala. But you and I have to become the change. You have to know the reason why you, if you want to know the reason why you live, you have to know the reason why you're going to die. That you have to know where I'm going to be going to. You have to, and if you want to become a good leader, you have to become a good follower. The entire success of mankind is following Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you follow him well, you will become the change in the community. So what does that mean? That mashallah, we wake up for Fajr, inshallah. We pray our 5 times, inshallah. Don't miss it. When I was giving a talk to a bunch of Hindus the other day, and so I told, they said, how are you praying 5 times a day? I'm like, it only takes like 5 minutes each prayer. It's not the end of the world, man. You know, you can stop your video games and come for Isha Salah. I swear. You can just pause the game. There is a pause button. Wallahi, there's a pause button. You can pause the game and just come. Pray your Salah, get to 27 times reward and go back home. What's it going to kill you? You woke up for Black Friday, ya Allah. We can wake up for a good, blessed Fajr, inshallah, right? It's also possible. Pray your Fajr, read your Quran every day. And if you're a boy, mashallah, start to wear your topi. Wear your topi outside. Show that you're a Muslim. Let people know that you're a Muslim. I don't really want any sister to ever say that this brother doesn't know what I'm going through. You sure know, sister, I do know. I wear the turban wherever I go. I'll go onto the airplane with this. Because why? Because I know, sister, how difficult it is. I will dress like a Muslim the same way you are. And that sister who hasn't worn hijab, how many years will it be until we wear a hijab? Be brave, sister. Be proud, sister. Be strong, sister. You can do it, inshallah. Go outside and show people. Change that girl that doesn't understand that it's winter time. She's still wearing shorts. By you wearing this, you'll become a role model, inshallah. You'll see her start to wear longer pants, inshallah, because she'll become more modest because of you. Everyone here has to become a role model and change. And once you and I start to change, inshallah ta'ala, I promise this, not my promise, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's promise. When you and I decide to change, Allah will change the entire world. May Allah give us all tawfiq and hidayah to become true followers of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, become strong role models for our children, for everyone around us. May Allah give us the tawfiq to follow all the faraid of Islam and become true strong followers of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For those who make sunnah can do so, inshallah.